Welcome back to the Back to the Good Life podcast. My name's Nikki.
And my name's Mr. G.
And today we are going to be talking to you about spring foraging. Both of us are a bit into foraging a little bit, aren't we? It's actually a very romantic story. It's almost how we met, isn't it? Almost.
I mean, we did find out that we both liked the foraging sides.
We bonded over mushrooms, but not in a way that you might be thinking.
What, fungal sporing?
We should probably just move on straight away, shouldn't we? There's no good can come from this conversation.
No, it's the start of a great idea of foraging. Spring does bring it's kind of a small gathering of foraging plants, mushrooms to begin with, really.
There's lots available, isn't there? I mean, surprisingly, considering we're in what they call the hungry gap for vegetables and things growing, and it's practically all that's growing at the moment is root vegetables and spring greens. But like in the wild world, it's kind of opening up a
there's
bit
always something to be able to get. It's not quite as plentiful as you'd get to late spring into summer and autumn, but we still have plenty enough to be able to go out and pick.
Yeah. And the thing is, things change as well, don't they? In the autumn, you normally get more berries and fruits and things, whereas during the summer, it's all like flowers and leaves, and the spring, it's mostly leaves and mushrooms.
Leaves.
I don't know as much about mushrooms as you do.
I know very little. I'm still learning.
You're still learning. You are the blind leading the blind with the mushrooms at the moment. You're still a bit more.
So before we even start on the topic, really, we must be throwing out if you don't know what it is, don't pick it.
Yeah, because this is a huge disclaimer. Like, if you don't know what it is, don't pick it and eat it. I mean, like, I shouldn't say that most things are generally fairly safe, but just don't risk it. Like, find out what it is before you eat it.
Get yourself a few guides. Get yourself a few books, and learn what's native to your areas.
Yeah, I think the best thing you can do. Well, the best thing I found that I did was went on some foraging courses, like 1 day courses, because you're actually out with an expert who picks up something and goes, "This is this, and you can use it for this, or you can eat it for this."
My beautiful Nikki has bought me it's later on in the year, but a foraging course for mushrooms.
That is your Christmas present.
Yes, yeah. So I'm highly looking forward to the season of, I believe it's going to be
September
time. So that's going to be more like the Puccini mushrooms. But this time of year, we aren't going to get anything as nice and as fruitful as Puccini or even Chicken of the Woods or anything like that.
Oyster mushrooms. Oyster
mushrooms run right through into winter, which I was quite surprised to find out, actually.
Ah, see. And they're edible ones. I mean, not that we're suggesting you can't eat anything, but.
Yeah, no, there are edible. I think there's about 3 or 4 different oysters, and some that are very similar. Oysterlings aren't one that is supposed to be advised to eat. I mean, gastro issues aren't something anybody wants.
Not really.
So, yeah.
Which is ironic, really, because you're into looking for mushrooms and find ones that could give you like gastro stuff. Whereas I'm into the wild medicines, so we'd be a great pair. You'd find just the mushrooms almost kill us,
and you would heal them
back together.
Yeah. Well, and in between, we both find ourselves
food.
In yes, yeah. Well, on the subject of food, and maybe not just food, but alcohols that are involved with this.
Now we're talking my language.
Now. I know that hawthorn is supposed to be like budding and possibly like showing its leaves this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe that hawthorn is quite a good good edible and not only just for eating, chucking salads.
But I've never eaten a hawthorn leaf, but on the same thing, the hawthorn berries, the haw berries, which come out later, slightly later, well, much later actually, early autumn, they're good for medicine. So that's where I come from, hawthorn.
Right, okay, that's interesting. I didn't realise that the berries were going to be of a medicinal use.
Yeah, they're really good for the circulatory system. So they okay. are good for heart problems and anything to do with the blood in general.
Right.
Obviously, don't make medicines unless you're in talk with your own doctor. We're not doctors at all.
We're going to keep throwing disclaimers out.
We are going to keep throwing this disclaimer out. But yeah, just like we will be talking a little bit about wild medicines today as well as wild food. So just be aware that as much as we're saying it's good for this, it's good for that, you need to do your own research. Make sure you're picking the right thing. And if
you are on medications, make sure with your
considering using wild medicines,
your local GP, you're right with.
Yeah, and talk to someone who's actually a professional herbalist.
You've got me confused.
I think it's
now.
Herbalist.
I would say herbalist, but it could be herbologist. Where
professional, the person that is actually a professional, clearly not us. But no, I find on a personal note, I find wild medicine really interesting. So it's really interesting when we're out because you find things like little mushrooms. Like, oh, that's that, and you can eat that. And I'm like, oh, look, this leaf here does this and that. And
we'll
come back with baskets of very different things. Anything, it's the food bit that we've not been that good at.
We'll get to the food, and I'm sure that we're going to be doing another foraging sort of podcast in months to come as well.
And we might even make a video for our forthcoming YouTube channel.
Pardon?
That we haven't set up yet. Did you not know? I did tell you.
A YouTube channel?
We'll be having our very own YouTube channel soon, so you can follow our adventures and see his beautiful face on the screen all the time. Yeah. Maybe we'll blow your face out. I don't know, love.
Yeah, well, it'd be safer, aren't we?
Anyway, moving on.
Right, so what's happened this time of year? I suppose wild garlic or Ramsons is the one of the other names for it. I'm no good with the Latin or Greek.
It's Allium. Something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Gavarium?
I'm not sure. But we'd probably find those in fairly shaded woodlands. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is also a possibility that people find something called Lords and Ladies. Yeah, yes. It's not a good one. It's an irritant.
Tummy upset, isn't it? Yeah.
No, it's not a tummy upset. It's more than that. It's an inflammation of your airwaves.
Oh, no, that's really not good. I thought it was just a tummy ache. Oh,
No. So,
don't eat that then.
The young leaves are very similar to what wild garlic or Ramsons looks like. And again, if you want to find out, just do yourself some research. Look and make sure that what you are picking is what you intend to pick, because you don't want to end up with nasty disasters of A&E trips or anything like that.
No. And for anyone watching this podcast on our podcast YouTube channel, which is going to be quite different one to our other one that we haven't set up yet, I will try and put some pictures of some of these things that we're talking about.
That would be a good idea.
Video, if I can find them, so.
That would be a good idea.
So if you do want to watch our podcast, have a look on YouTube for Back to the Good Life podcast, and our podcast YouTube channel will pop up, so you can actually watch the video, watch us sitting down having a chat, and actually have a look at some of the pictures. Well, I'll try and pop them about here-ish. I'm pointing to it for those of you listening, and you can see some of the pictures and the stuff we're talking about.
And now I think that's a good idea, just to try and distinguish between different plants,
especially as they all look very similar. I mean,
my
favorite wild plant, which is a weed that grows pretty much all everywhere, it grows in grassy areas but pretty much all year round, It's called plantain. Now, it's not the banana-looking thing. It's an actual leaf.
Now, there was me getting hungry again.
Oh, see, this is medicine I'm talking about. It's much more fun.
Oh. Well, no, it's good for ailments, I'm sure, but...
Plantain is full of antihistamines. It's, and I think it's anti-inflammatory and antibacterial, which is just amazing. So you can basically use it as an antiseptic and stuff like that. And it's just, it's an amazing plant in general.
Now, that's quite good, right? Yeah.
But there's two types of leaf. There's the one, it's kind of a spear shape. It's very long, like that.
Do they not have, like, a backwards flowing leaf as well?
What they have is all of the stems come right from the centre. So if you imagine this is the centre of your plant, they all come out like that. So you can see it, and again, I'll pop a little picture up so it makes it a bit more.
Yeah, common. That would be.
But they have long ones and short ones, and both are usable, but they grow everywhere and it's amazing. Ah. Absolutely amazing. So we always go and pick loads, and I can
draw. I remember last year us going out and picking
tincture them.
Quite a few.
And oil them. I've got plantain oil, plantain tincture, and dry plantain at home here.
How much do you need, by the way?
Well, it's one of those.
Do we need another forage this year?
I think we're going to have to go for a little forage anyway.
Right.
You have to, like, you know, freshen up your apothecary.
Well, yeah, I suppose. I mean, there is a shelf life, no matter what.
I'm sure there is.
So, along with plantain, what else do we have growing at the moment? I mean,
dandelions are growing at the moment. Ground dandelions are always growing, and yarrow.
Yeah, yes, there are certain yarrows that you can just pick and chuck into a salad.
Yeah, because they're also on the medicinal side of things. They're an anticoagulant, so they help the blood to coagulate and go all crusty when you cut yourself. So if you're out, like walking the dog, and you fall over and cut your hand or something, obviously if it's not a deep cut, go to A&E if it's difficult, if it's really bad. But like if you get like a little scratch, you can kind of chuck a bit of yarrow on it and it'll stop bleeding. It's amazing. When I cut my leg shaving the other day, I popped a little bit of dried yarrow powder on it. Stopped bleeding within minutes.
Ah, right. That's interesting. So, going on from your yarrow bit,
mm-hmm.
Sorrel. I'm not quite sure of the...
There is a medicinal use, but I can't remember what it is. So I don't want to say it's for this, when it might not be.
But I know that you can use like the common sorrel
mm-hmm.
as... salad additives.
You can also use nettles as well.
Yeah, not only can you use nettles for salads and pestos as well, I believe,
mm-hmm.
but you can use them as wine.
Nettle wine.
Yeah, have you never heard of nettle wine? I've not tried it, but it's supposed to be really quite good.
Is it green? Because like anything I've ever made with nettles has come out very, very green.
I should imagine so.
You know, we're going to have to see if we can order some. Oh, actually, on the top.
Order or make?
Order and make. But any wine I've ever made has always tasted like vinegar. So I can't promise I can make good wine. I can promise I can make pretty good vinegar.
Maybe it's going to be nettle vinegar then.
Nettle vinegar. But no, just as a very quick sidestep. My favourite wine, which we've never had a bottle of, but we need to, silver birch wine, made out of my favourite trees.
You've spoken about this before, yes.
Absolutely delicious. It's really sweet. Just, I love it. Absolutely gorgeous. I've only had a few bottles, like, a long time ago, but still up top, my favourite wine ever.
It's something that I've never had the opportunity to be able to try. Yes. I mean, elderberry wine and things like that, or even elderflower wine. But again, it's a little bit further on into the season, so hopefully we'll come back to more foraging.
Yeah, the elderflowers won't be that long coming out, though. They'll be, because they're very short season, and you need to pick them pretty much as soon as you see them, because otherwise, like, if you go
before the birds and the bees come out and take the
berries as well.
The berries.
But I don't know when elderflowers come out. I think it's kind of late March, April time, I think.
We'll get back to you with that.
Yeah. We'll just have to do another podcast on things. We'll put it on our YouTube channel. Just keep plugging
the foraging.
I'm
quite happy with that.
Hmm.
So, on to one of my favourite hunts.
Is it going to be a mushroom?
How did you guess?
Because, my dear, it's always mushrooms with you.
I don't like eating them. Which is really odd for wanting to go out and find them.
I've been trying to build up your resistance to it by making dehydrated mushroom powder.
Have you? You've not been putting that in my food, I hope.
Yeah, I have. Pretty much everything.
Okay.
Not only does our green powder, which you can see our greens powder on Instagram, I'm so proud of it. But yeah, I do the same with mushrooms and I put them in there too. So I'm hoping that eventually you'll go, oh, I really fancy some mushrooms. And I'll be like, yes, it's worked.
Someone says it's not common shop bought mushrooms. They're all
at the moment, they have been.
They're all of the same species. But we're all right. We're all right with that. I'm not going to get myself too het up over having mushroom powder.
No, it's good stuff. You don't really taste it.
Not only that, it's good in soup stocks.
It is. We've got a shepherd's pie in the oven right now, and it's got a tablespoon of mushroom powder in it.
Well, it looks like I'm eating mushrooms after this.
Mushrooms, really.
Right, so... Let's divert off of that. And so we have a couple of mushrooms that I know of that are coming out. I think we have sorded bluets, which are about this time of year, which are...
Where do you find those?
I believe it's in the kind of undergrowth of trees. They have a lot of mycelial connected to them as well, so when you pull them out you can have a big chunk of the mushroom network essentially that's comes out with it, but again it's something that I've not come across properly myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's only through research of what we have this time of year. Velvet Shanks is another one.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that both of these mushrooms are edible. I know that the Velvet Shank has a bit of gastro problems with some people. So along with many other wild mushrooms, in all honesty, it's one of those that some people are all right with things and other people have issues with it. So again, disclaimer, don't pick it unless you know what it is and you know that you're all right with it. Yeah, exactly. Yes. So I think the velvet shanks are called Enoki, something like along those lines is another common name for it.
Ah.
I think that comes from Japan.
I've never heard of them, so it sounds slightly Japanese. I'm believing you at the moment, darling.
Well, hopefully I'm not just sending you on a wild goose chase on your hunt.
A wild mushroom chase. I really want to find, and I know that it's not edible, and I absolutely know it's not edible. In fact, it's the opposite of edible. I really want to find the fly agarics. You know, the ones with the white bottom and the red top and the white dots on it.
I know the fly agarics.
I wouldn't touch it, but I do want to find one and take a picture of it and just be like, oh my God, I found a fairy mushroom.
There are other cultures that used to... Well, I think back in the olden days, but during the periods of the Vikings, it was used by their berserkers as to send them into some sort of trance for going into battle.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't be trying that. I just want to take a picture of it. It can stay where it lives. All I want to do is take a picture of it.
It is that iconic Alice in Wonderland.
It is. That's why I want to take a picture of it.
Yes.
And be like, I found it. But that's right. I don't even know where they grow. So
you
I'll
and
find
me.
Them at some point.
You don't know it. They grow in sort of pine conditions. Lots of pine plantations, you find these. That's in months and months ahead.
Yeah, it's not.
It's nowhere near yet. But you do find other mushrooms around with them as well that are edible.
You did find a few months ago, I can't actually remember what they were called, but they were like a purpley kind of colour. Do you remember those ones?
I do, and I wasn't able to
find out what they were.
No, yeah. they almost looked like a rhubarb and custard sort of colour.
Mm.
But after doing some research, there's quite no idea, and there's quite a few that look very similar.
Oh, that's a shame. They were quite nice though. I do try and share our mushroom mix. This podcast is all about mushrooms, but no, I just try and share. It sounds like
it's going that way.
Pictures of our Friday fungi on Instagram. So there's all sorts of pictures. That massive dryad saddle that you found. That was up there, but that was months ago. That was huge though. That was like the size of your head.
Do you know where they get their name from?
No.
It's supposed to do with the pixies in the woodlands. It's where they used to sit. Well, that essentially that's the fairy tales that go with it.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's the forest folk that used to use them.
Don't go upsetting them.
No, no, not at all.
Any fae folk listening, we love you lot.
So,
what else is on your list of things to talk about?
Well, we've got...
It's not a mushroom.
We've got other things than mushrooms. So, have you heard of Alexanders?
No, what is an Alexander?
Now, I do believe that they are...
called Alexander. It's probably not the same one you're talking about, is it?
No, I don't think so. Not unless you find them in hedgerows. Let's not go there. So Alexanders, as far as I'm aware, they are a very mild version of today's mustard.
Oh, wow.
It's something that...
It's the same medicinal properties as mustard.
Though. Possibly. I'm not sure. You'd have to have a bit of research into that. But they were brought over here by the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
And as palates have become stronger, they've been forgotten about, really.
It's quite a lot of like wild foods, like growing foods like that we
have just completely forgotten. Yeah,
it's like when a lot of people, and it's slightly different, but when a lot of people start eating game, like rabbits and venison and stuff like that, there's a certain gamey taste, and some people just really don't like it, and it's that whole section that kind of like, just because the palate's just not used to it.
Yeah,
personally I love it.
I know that you've got some rabbit in the freezer.
I've got some rabbit in the freezer.
So I'm looking forward to some sort of rabbit stew or
something
along those lines. But we're going off topic. So is there anything else that you want to add to our mushroom list?
Well, that's the thing, is like when I go out and look for things, I've generally always looked for medicinal stuff, just because that's what I really like doing. And it's only since meeting you, my love, that I've kind of looked for the mushroom side of things. But I think we really want to get into wild foods and things. That'd be really interesting. Actually, completely not a growing, not a vegetation bit of food. But when I was in Scotland with my sister many, many, many years ago, we found wild mussels growing, and we took them back and cleaned them out and cut them up for dinner, and that was really nice.
Coastal foraging is just as good as inland foraging.
Because most seaweeds in the UK you can eat as well. I think there's a couple that you can't, but there's most of them that you can actually.
Foraging, no matter where you are. I mean, we're inland, so...
I'm not quite as adept to
coastal foraging, and that would have been what our ancestors did as well.
Yeah, well, most of our ancestors lived around either the sea or rivers, because
plentiful foods,
easy protein source, wasn't it? But now when we go out, we find lots of kind of bridal pathways and things like that, and stuff on there that you can find. There's all sorts of things you can eat there. Cow parsley grows quite a lot. It's not very good, I've got to say. Like, it sounds like it should be great, but it doesn't really taste of anything. It looks alright.
The flowers have quite big heads on them as well, don't they?
Yeah, and there's quite a lot of plant for not a lot of taste or nutrient stuff.
Kind of like a celery almost.
Yeah, but doesn't even taste as strong as celery. It just tastes a bit like
nothing. Interesting.
It tastes exactly what you'd imagine grass to taste like. Grassy.
Grassy.
But so, another thing you can normally grow in hedgerows, probably a little bit later in the spring, but we're getting into that point, is chickweed. And chickweed's growing. And the other one, which I can never remember its real name, but we used to call it sticky weed as kids.
Oh, sticky willies. Cleavers. And cleavers,
that's the word.
Depending on where you come from in the country.
I love this because all these have different folk names. And it's really, really nice. Like,
I think if you're further up north, it's sticky willies.
All sorts of things. Well, we used to call them sticky weed and, you know, throw them at each other.
Yeah.
Because that was always fun. But yeah.
Yeah, I remember doing that while I was at school as well. I mean,
very naughty.
Quite a few years after, before you. I mean,
well, I'm an ancient relic,
aren't I?
No, there's all
this is how my love loves me.
Ah, we are nice at that. We did actually find, and we went foraging earlier on in the winter, or no, early on in the late autumn, we found a whole field of chamomile, didn't we? Well, not a field of chamomile, but a big patch of chamomile and meadow sweet as well.
Yes,
you're saying meadow sweet. That won't be out until, I think it's around about July time, meadow sweet. So we've got a long time to wait yet. But that's a really short shelf life, but it's an amazing plant.
Well, again, foraging during the spring or later spring, summer.
I think we're definitely going to do a few, don't we? Yeah. We are going to have to do a few. Yeah. So is there anything else you can think of that we can find right now?
Not offhand. I mean, without doing over amounts of research for days and days.
Mm. We'll have to go out a little bit more. I think this year has been a bit strange anyway, because the weather's been very even, I think is the only word you can
say. Yes, indeed, yeah. I mean, we've had our blustery week or so.
Eunice, whatever else it's been called today.
I think we've got Franklin today something along those lines.
Very windy, I know that.
But
lost one of my bins. I have no idea where it's gone. The storm has taken it.
Well, unfortunately, that's the price we have to pay for
living on a windy island.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, apart from that, I think at the moment that's probably about it. There is definitely more that you can go out and forage, but as my mind goes, I don't really want to put too much more input into it, just on the safety lines.
Yeah, there is probably that. But no, we'll have to go out and find things and snap pictures and pop them up on Instagram.
Fruit foraging is always good during summer.
Yeah,
I mean, blackberries.
Oh, blackberries are lovely. And wild strawberries and things like that.
I think when we went off to our local heritage site, but heritaged woodland.
Oh yeah, I know.
We found wild canes of raspberries as well.
Yeah, we'll have to make sure we definitely go into that in the summer.
But again, that's more of a summer wild foraging.
And I don't know if they are around here, but where I grew up, there used to be a little plum tree. I mean, that's hours away, so we can't go and see it. But a little tiny, I don't think it was Victoria plums, but they were really small ones, cherry plums, that was it.
No.
And every year we used to go and forage, take loads of plums because they grew back, so we didn't worry about taking loads.
And I think good
we've still got jars of cherry plum jam. Still.
Why haven't I tried any?
They're in the shed, darling. Give it a try.
Right. I'll come back to you with a result of what the cherry plum jam tastes like.
But yeah.
But apart from that, I think we should...
We should probably end.
Call it a wrap.
Once again, you've made me hungry. And well, we have got dinner in the oven.
For now, that's bye from me, Mr. G.
And bye from me, Nikki. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.